want to thank Moses Tupi and his family. They are from Samoa, in case they're new to our church, and it's wonderful to have new members participating, isn't it? So I want to thank them. One announcement, we were going to have a brief informational session about our finances. We're going to postpone that till next week. I can give my sermon in 10 minutes. Remember that name that tune thing? How many notes can you, okay, I can give my sermon in 10 minutes if I have to, okay, to get you out on time or close to it. But we do want to get that information, and it's not something we're going to be trying to make you feel guilty. It's not going to be a hard pressure. We just want the church to be informed as to what's going on and what we've had to do, okay? So hopefully next week come, and shortly after the service, we will have that informational meeting. Just want to share a word of grace with you. Today, may the character of our Lord Jesus be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word is powerful and it cuts into our hearts and lives, and that your word transforms us. Guide us as we look at it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the third sermon on Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and I need to give you just a very brief update on what we've done and what we've discovered. In the first sermon, we talked about the fact that so often, I don't know if this battery must be dead. You're going to have to do this one, okay? Or you got to connect it? Okay, he's putting it on. We talked about the fact that when Jesus gave the answers about the signs of the end of the age, that he was really answering and dealing with the messianic expectations that the Jews had at the time. And he was answering all nine of these things, and I don't have time to go into it today. But he was showing that the nations, it was believed the nations would form an alliance against the Messiah, and he said, no, nation will rise against nation. It believed that the nations would be destroyed, and he said, no, the nations will try and destroy God's people. They believed that Jerusalem would be restored, and they said, no, God, the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then Jesus will come. And it was believed that the Messiah would establish his reign of peace, and he said, no, it would be a time of tribulation. So he's answering that charge to show that he was the Messiah indeed, and that his messianic reign would begin with his coming and end with the second coming. With that in mind, we've looked at the second sermon on Matthew 24. In that sermon, we discovered that the signs of his coming, that when Jesus said this is the beginning of the birth pains, that was a phrase for the Messiah. And he said, I am coming. I am the Messiah. And we need to look at all those prophecies that when we really looked at those signs that were revealed, they were really showing how sin is the result and sin reacts against the Messiah's presence. It was showing that sin would be seen in the spiritual realm. There would be false messiahs. Sin would be seen in the political realm. There would be wars and rumors of war. Sin would be seen in the natural realm. There would be earthquakes and disasters. Sin would be seen in human relationships. The love for many would grow cold. And that would continue from the time of Jesus all the way till he comes again. This morning, we're going to look at what Jesus really wanted to tell his disciples about the signs. What he really wanted them to get out of what it means to be ready for Jesus to come. There was a lovely villa that rests on the shores of beautiful Lake Como in the Italian Alps. It was a place where tourists would come. Some tourists who were there one day were noticing how beautiful the grounds were. It was well-maintained, well-kept, luscious green, beautiful flowers, lovely shaped shrubs, just a gorgeous place to visit. And as they were taking this tour of this beautiful villa, they came upon the trusted old gardener who maintained the grounds and had maintained the grounds for years. One of the members of the tour group said, this is so beautiful, the owner must come here frequently. No, the gardener replied, he's been here only once in 15 years, and I didn't even see him that time. The man scratched his head and said, well, how do you get your orders on what you need to do around here? He said, oh, I contact the owner's agent in the town. He lives in Milan. Then he must come here often. No, not real often, perhaps just about once a year. The tourist was amazed. You have no one to supervise your work, and the grounds are as beautiful as they are, as if you expected the owner to come back tomorrow to visit? And he said, oh, no, Not tomorrow, today. Keep that in mind. When you look at Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we discover that Jesus gives us not just a subtle hint, but two major hints about how we are to think about and look about what it means to be prepared for the second coming. First of all, it says in Matthew 24, verse 6, don't be anxious. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Don't get anxious about the signs. Secondly, he says in Matthew 24, verse 13, Matthew 24, verse 13, he says, verse 14, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. The King James Version says, he who endures to the end will be saved. The interesting thing about that word endures is it's in the original word language is hupomeno. It comes from that root word, which means super abiding. That word does not just contain a phrase to tell us hang in there. It tells us how we are to hang in there. It tells us that we are to hang in there by staying connected and in communion with God. And that's what gives us the endurance. It's the same word that's used in Revelation when it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. The good news about the end times is that if we stay in communion with him, if we abide in him, he gives us the stamina to see us through. That's good news, isn't it? I want you to notice the next thing he does is he tells four parables, one after the other. And we often study those parables by themselves, and when you do that, you find rich, rich things. It's the parable of the servant who was put in charge of his master's home while his master's away. It's the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the metaphorical parable of the sheep and the goats. And we often take them by themselves. If you want a fascinating study this afternoon, go to Christ Object Lessons and read about the talents, read about the bridegroom cometh, go to Desire of Ages and read what she says about the servants. But this is what I would like you to see today. When Jesus talks about the signs of his coming, what he wants us to understand, the disciples wanted to know when, he wanted us to know what we do while we wait. The disciples wanted to be able to plot it out. He wanted us to live it out. He still wants that. I want you to notice that what Jesus is telling you and I today is that God wants to use your life to show the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between the results of following Satan's way and the results of following God's way. How does he do that? He starts out by saying, listen, look at the fig tree. When we see the signs, the leaves coming on, we know that summer's near. So when you see the signs, you know that the Messiah is near. And then he tells the parable of the man who goes away and leaves a servant in charge of the other servants. And he says, the good servant who's left in charge will take care of them. He will feed the servants. He will care for them. He will watch over them. He will be kind to them. The wicked servant would beat them, not give them their food, would treat them poorly, and would not care about the fact that the master would come home sometime. And he said the good servant would receive a reward and be given charge over more possessions. The wicked servant would be cast out. And I can just hear the disciples saying, well, Jesus, how do we make sure we treat people like you want us to? How can we make sure that we're the good servant and not the wicked servant? And Jesus said, let me tell you another parable. And he told the story of the 10 virgins. And there's so much in that story. It is just a wonderful story. But I want to link these together because, like this morning, when you saw the mountain as you drove to church, you saw the beautiful mountain scenery. And if you were to drive up in the mountains, it would still be beautiful, but it would lose some of its impact, wouldn't it? I want to show you the broad picture. When Jesus told the story of the 10 virgins, you remember the story? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5, they were all waiting. They were all expecting the bridegroom to come. But the ones who were foolish did not have enough oil. And we're told by Ellen White, that, and it makes sense, that the lamp is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto a path. The lamp is the Bible. And the oil we know from Scripture is a symbolized by what? Is a symbol of who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and the Bible go together because he's the one who's inspired it. And so they, the ones without the oil, didn't have the understanding of the word. They had the lamp, but they didn't have the oil. And he says, if you're going to do the work I've asked you to do, if you're going to allow my light to shine, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. And so the next question is, well, how do we know if we've got the Holy Spirit? He said, I got another story. And he tells the story of the talents, how a master went away and he left some talents. I believe it was five different versions, different gospels tell different ones, and I just slipped my mind for a second which one's which. I read them all. He leaves the talents, and the first one, he gives him five talents, and he comes back, and he now has 10. The second one has two talents, and he now has doubled it. He's got four. And then the next one has one, and he hides it and buries it because he said, I know you're a hard taskmaster. You require much of me. I need to take care of these talents. And he said, if you knew I was a hard taskmaster, why didn't you at least put it in a bank to get interest? You remember that story? And what it was saying is, if I've asked you to do something to work in my behalf, I'm going to give you what you need to do it with. And I can hear the disciples scratching their heads. Well, what talents do we use? How do we use the talents? And then Jesus tells the metaphorical parable about the sheep and the goats, how he separates the sheep and the goats on what basis? On the basis of those who revealed compassion to those who are in need. Why is that? What was the ministry of Jesus all about? Wasn't it about his compassion for the sinner, compassion for those who were hurting, compassion for those outside of society who no one cared about? He said, the ultimate reality is, while you watch and pray, that's what watch means, while you watch and pray, you will be revealing my character of compassion in your daily lives. Do you follow the train of thought? It's easy to get caught up in, well, who are the 10 virgins and what is the oil and what about the delay and all that? And that's a good study. Don't get me wrong. We need to study that. But if we miss the part that what we are to do while we wait for Jesus to come, while we see sign after sign unfolding, if we miss the part that God's character of love and compassion is to be revealed through his people while we wait, we will not fulfill the task he's given us to do. Say, Pastor Gary, that's different than I've heard it before. Well, that may be true. So that you know I'm not going completely out on an edge, I just want to read a couple of statements. One's taken from the story of the parable of the 10 virgins in the book Christ Object Lessons. The second one's taken from the parable of the talents. Ellen White in Christ Object Lessons says, it is the privilege of every soul to be a living channel through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world his spirit and character. There is nothing that the world needs so much as a manifestation through humanity of the Savior's love. All heaven is waiting for channels through which can be poured the holy oil to be a joy and blessing to human hearts. Christ has made every provision that his church shall be a transformed body, illumined with the light of the world, possessing the glory of Emmanuel. It is his purpose that every Christian shall be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. He desires that we shall reveal his own joy in our lives. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Nothing he wants, desires nothing more but that we reveal his character and that the world needs to see a manifestation through us of the Savior's love. I want to go on to the last quote. All men have been bought with a price. an infinite price. By pouring the whole treasury of heaven into this world, by giving us in Christ all heaven, God has purchased the will, the affections, the mind, the soul of every human being. Whether believers or unbelievers, all men are the Lord's property. All are called to do service for him, and for the manner in which they have met this claim, all will be required to render an account at the great judgment day. I want you to notice two things. Number one, this is not about works. It's about if you've got the oil, the works will happen, right? Number two, it says all are called to do service for him. And it's not just whether we did the work or not, but the manner in which we have met this claim. Did we do it because we had to, or did we do it because of our love for him? Did we do it because we have to force ourselves, or did we do it because we can't help but tell others what a wonderful friend we found in Jesus? Did we minister to people who are hurting because somebody has to, or because the love of Christ compels us? That's the difference. The easiest thing in the world is to sit down and figure out the signs. Not quite so easy, but it's easy to get interested in setting up a chart. The greater thing is allowing God to use us to be the ones who reveal his character so that the people see the difference, viva la difference, between the sheep and the goats. So that others will see the difference between following God in his way of love and following Satan, Allison, in his way of force. That's what Jesus was concerned about. That's why he told those four parables. Because he wanted his disciples, he wants you and me to understand that preparation for the second coming is not about knowing when things are going to happen as much as being part of the army that makes things happen through his Spirit. Okay, it was 15. I did leave out a few things, but if you'd like to know what I left out, you might want to catch up on Desire of Ages, the chapter about on the Mount of Olives, and those two chapters I mentioned in Christ Object Lessons. I would urge you to read them. I read them again. I learned twice this week. They were so good. And by the way, and that's sermon's over, but by the way, I read others who talked about those parables, and the rich veins I found in Christ's Object Lessons went way beyond. Okay? May God bless us as we seek, as we wait for his second coming, that we are people who are not idly waiting, but that we are asking how can we serve because his Spirit is within us. We wait because we have received his Spirit. We wait as we give to others, and we wait as we abide in him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the mighty God. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for all the wonderful things we've seen today, the new life of a baby, a new part of our family, joining in and worshiping with us, the reminder of the freedom we have in this country. Lord, as we leave this place, may we do so with rejoicing because you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I leave, we will